Hey, welcome to the film podcast. What's up? Everybody's excited. Everybody has a lot of energy today. They haven't been out in theme parks hanging out all day.
I'm trying to contain myself right now.
I know. I'm going to have to lower your volume, Kevin, because you're just too loud, too energetic. Welcome.
No.
Welcome. As always, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Kevin.
And what do we do? If you're a new listener, what do? We talk about movies. Today we're talking about films with a twist ending. Is that right, guys?
Yes.
And
or maybe the big twist is we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, maybe at the end.
Yep.
There's a twist. All right. So what will happen, guys, if you... This is what we'll do. The best way to listen to this episode is going to probably be on an Apple device. I'll tell you why. Because this episode will be enhanced. So so you could forward... If we're going to start talking about a movie... you could forward it. I'm going to put chapters on it. That way it's not spoiled. If you haven't seen a movie that we talk about, that way you get a spoiler-free episode. So hopefully that this works out. If you're listening to this, it probably worked out, or else I would have cut this part out. So, all right. So if we get to a movie that you haven't seen, just go ahead and hit forward on your iPod, iPhone, iPad, and it'll forward to the next movie we're going to talk about. All right, so let's start off by talking about any movies we've seen in theaters, guys. Nothing?
I saw 21 and Over.
How's that?
Yeah.
It was what you would expect it to be, but I thought it was really funny and crude and hilarious. So I wasn't going in there expecting like an Oscar winner or all-time greatest movie, but you go in there expecting something funny. And
is it? I enjoy Project X. Was it as good as Project X?
It was a little different just because it's only following like three guys, mostly two guys, and one of them's like unconscious the whole time. But it kind of was the whole like that age group party scene kind of thing. You know?
Okay.
So. Yeah, there's one whole scene almost near the end that's just like a montage of all this big party that's going on, and I don't want to give any of it away, but there's like all these games and stuff, so it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything in theaters. I did rewatch The Amazing Spider-Man, and I liked it a little bit better. I think not watching in 3D helped a lot, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I did the first time, so... There's still a lot of plot holes, but I just went online and watched the deleted scenes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that seems like that scene was deleted, and it seemed like there was stuff missing from the movie, so
okay.
I explained it. But, I'm kind of looking forward to part two. New writers on it. I like Mark Webb. I thought he was really cool, and he kind of made it fun. I realized I really like... Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, the second time.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. I don't know all the haters that there were in there. He wasn't good. But, all right. Kevin, you see anything in theaters?
Nothing in theaters, but I did watch John Dies at the End.
How was that?
It's good. It's a Don Coscarelli film, so it's weird. It's got some funny, weird things that happen in it, and it's got an interesting sense of humor, but I had a lot of fun with it. It's not as great as, like... Bubba Hotep or anything like that, but it's good. It's different.
And it's a guy who wrote and directed Bubba Hotep, and then he did Phantasms.
Right? Yeah.
I thought he was doing a new Phantasms. Maybe I'm wrong.
I have no idea.
All right. Well, all right. Let's get into... Does anybody have a stream of the week? Anything you've seen?
Nope.
I am going to suggest a really cheesy movie. That's really fun. It's a movie from the 80s called BMX Bandits, and it stars Nicole Kidman. It's streaming on Netflix, so if you have Netflix Instant, check it out. BMX Bandits. If you want to see a really young Nicole Kidman pre-base work, you know, she's untouched by the surgeon, so.
Nice.
Yeah, check it out on Netflix.
This is pre-Tom Cruise, too, isn't it?
Yeah, pre-Scientology, so.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into it. Who wants to go? Kevin, I think I decided you're going to go first.
Yes,
so,
you did.
Give us your first pick.
Okay, so I'm going to go on a high note and I'm going to make up for Adam not being here by putting a horror film on my list. It's from 1986, and the movie is called April Fool's Day.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's great. You have a lot of fun with it. It's a bunch of kids going up to a cabin, like a beach house on April Fool's weekend. And the hostess is trying to make it seem fun. And then people just start getting killed off and disappearing. And you find out that she has this crazy insane twin. And then there's a twist at the end that I'm going to ruin for everybody right now. And it's that no one actually dies. It's all been a big joke. And she's just showing her friends this idea that she has for this like horror-themed getaway where people will come and they'll stage like a slasher movie where everybody will actually get killed by like a slasher and you're trying to figure out who the slasher is. And then in the end, everybody's actually alive.
Very cool.
Interesting.
It's funny because now that there's like there's holiday movies for every holiday, you know, like
yep.
That's April Fool's and is there a New Year's movie?
I think there is. They did release, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's the Gary, what is it, Gary Marshall.
Marshall, yeah.
But, I mean, a horror movie.
Horror movie, yeah. There's got to be.
Well, Thanksgiving is the only one I think is missing, but yeah. Eli Roth kind of teased it with his, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm like, if you make it really cheesy 80s, mm-hmm. I might be interested.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. Jenny, what is your number five?
Okay. Still ordering them. I think for my number five, I'm going to go with one of the more obvious ones that I think a lot of people have seen, but it's a really good one. Fight Club.
Ooh, yes.
Nice. Yeah. It's kind of one that everyone's seen, so I feel like it's okay to talk about the ending, but so it's pretty much, it's, I'll just say the thing. An insomniac office worker looking for a way to change his life crosses paths with a double may care soap maker, and they form an underground fight club that evolves into something much, much more. So he meets Tyler, and it's funny because Edward Norton never actually has a name in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. Tyler ends up helping him to become more like laid back, and they want to start, you know, a business, and they get a huge group of people to do this fight club thing. And then at the end of the movie, you find out that he's in his head the whole time, and it's actually him that was doing all the crazy stuff. And it's kind of interesting to see all the scenes again that were with Tyler Durden, Brad Pitt, see them as just Edward Norton. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love rewatching this movie because when I first saw it, I had never read the book, so I didn't see it coming.
I haven't read the book yet either. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, when it's like, wait, he's been in his head this whole
time? Yeah,
That just got me. And now every time I watch it, I'm always like trying to pick out the little things where Fincher is just throwing little hints at you, being like, yep,
yeah.
He's crazy.
Yeah, for real. It's good. I like that part a lot. The movie in general is awesome. The whole cast. I love Meatloaf's character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I like everything about this one.
This is a movie where it started my hate towards Jared Leto. It's because
of
Ed Norton.
Yeah.
And his character. Like, Ed Norton throughout the whole movie, like, wants to, like, just punch his face in. And
oh, when he does.
Yeah. You're like, yes. Thank you. Finally.
He just wanted to mess something up that was pretty.
Yeah. but it's a really fun movie. It's one of those that you get a lot of enjoyment from rewatching it over and over. It's just a really, it's a cool movie to revisit because you're like, oh, there's that. And I like the intersplicing of Tyler. Mm-hmm. Like every time, like you see like a frame of Tyler and then the penis in it.
Yep.
At
the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things that they added that were really fun. And not only does this have a twist ending, but it just has a really good ending. Like when the buildings are going down and they're holding hands.
Yeah. Yes. To what song is it?
The Pixies song.
That's right. Yeah. It's so good.
And and the cinematography is awesome.
Cinematography is great. The script is terrific.
Yeah. Well, it's based on a Chuck Palahniuk novel.
Yeah.
And I tend to like all the movies that are based off his novels. So I'm on board.
There's usually talented people who get behind his stuff.
Yeah. I think he has a lot of control over that. Like he's like, I'll choose. And it's a movie that did horrible in the box office and kind of found its audience.
And
on
it
DVD.
Was horribly reviewed. Like critics panned the movie.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Were you paying attention?
Yeah, it's funny. I got the the 10th anniversary DVD, and they have this thing where I think it's like a Spike TV award thing.
Yeah,
and they're receiving like the icon movie of the whatever it is, whatever award it is, and David Fincher's there, Brad Pitt, and Ed Norton, and Brad Pitt goes on to read all the bad reviews on stage that Fight Club got, and they're pretty funny. So, but yeah, it's a really cool movie. I'm glad you put it on there. Maybe we haven't heard the end of Fincher for this list. We'll see.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well, there's more than one movie left that has a twist ending. But I'll do my number five. For my number five, I did a movie from 1996, and I picked Primal Fear.
Damn it, that's my number three.
Really?
Yep.
Well, we'll talk about it now. So, Primal Fear, it stars a really young Ed Norton.
Yes.
Oh, it's weird that we just talked about Ed Norton Fight Club and another twist ending.
He likes those twist ending films.
Yeah. And it stars Ed Norton and Richard Gere, mm-hmm. right? And tell us about it. You talk about it. It's higher on your list.
So pretty much what happens is that a priest gets murdered, and Edward Norton gets arrested and charged for the murder of this priest. And as the story goes on, his lawyer, played by Richard Gere, finds out that this priest did a lot of bad things, and he helps get Edward Norton cleared. And then Edward Norton...
Well, Edward Norton has this like split personality thing.
Well, he did, but he doesn't show anything. I mean, he's just plays this like sweet, innocent kid, and it's like, how could he ever kill anybody?
Yeah.
And then Edward Norton shows you how amazing of an actor he is, and has one of the greatest, just this amazing scene that you go along the ride, and you're like, well, I really don't want this kid as innocent. Nothing bad should happen to him. Yeah. And then Edward Norton's like, nope, I've been playing everybody this whole time. I'm a cold-blooded killer.
Yep.
And the scene is just so good. Just his body language and how he changes like that. He changes to his actual personality.
Yeah, especially at the end when he gets him off.
Yeah.
Not in that way. when he gets him off.
And that was one of the cut scenes.
Yeah. When he gets him, Richard Gere's a lawyer. When he gets him, when he's found innocent, he goes to see him, and he changes.
Yep.
When Richard Gere shows up, and you're like, "What?" And you like, it's one of the times where you feel really cheated. Like literally, you feel cheated. Like you're like, "Oh, what a dick."
Well, especially because he plays it so slimy and so well that you're just like, "Ah, this guy's a fucking asshole." This whole time I've been like, "He's just a sweet. He was abused and treated like crap. He doesn't deserve that. What's going on?" And nope, he's not. He's an asshole.
Yeah. And it was directed by Gregory Howlett. Who directed Frequency, Hearts of War, Fracture, Untraceable. What else did he do? Fallen, the movie with Denzel that also has a twist ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Fallen?
No, I haven't.
It's one of is that his only horror-ish movie that he's done? It's not horror, Denzel? Per se, but yeah. It's like a suspense thriller kind of. Elias Koteas is good in the beginning of that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so check that out. Check out. Have you seen that movie?
Primal Fear? I haven't, but I've heard a lot about it. I keep meaning to.
Spoiler alert.
Let's just say Edward Norton deserved his nomination and might have actually deserved to win.
Do you know who won that year? I wonder who won.
I don't remember.
But yeah, that is my pick for my number five. Kevin, what is your number four?
My number four. It's a French film. It's from 1955, and it's Les Diaboliques.
Yes. was this remade?
Yeah, they've remade it a couple different times. And technically, I guess Clouseau got the idea from Hitchcock. He bought the novel before Hitchcock did, and Hitchcock was kind of inspired by, influenced Psycho a little bit. And then I believe they actually did remake it with some other actors.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s. So the plot of the film is a wife who her husband is the headmaster at the school, and she gets treated like crap by him. So she conspires with her husband's mistress to kill him, and that way neither of them have to deal with him anymore. So they end up drowning him and making it try to seem like an accident, and then his body disappears. And she, the wife, starts seeing the husband's body throughout, just kind of like appearing, and he looks very ghostly, and it just starts driving her crazy because she constantly will just see him appear, and then he disappears. And the great twist ending, which a lot of people regard as one of the scariest scenes in horror cinema, she's in the bathroom, and he rises directly up out of the tub, and he's got these things in his eyes, and it freaks her out so much that she gets scared to death. And then we find out that the whole time that the mistress and him have been conspiring to kill her, to make her actually die by accident, and he's been alive this entire time. But they've been slowly trying to make her go crazy so she'll have get scared. They can scare her to have a heart attack, and then that way they don't actually have to kill her.
Oh wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know what? I think I might have seen one of the remakes. Probably. This sounds so familiar. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to see this one now.
And it's great.
What's it called again?
Les Diaboliques or Diabolique.
Oh, okay.
It's directed by Clouseau, who did Wages of Fear, which I love. Wages of Fear.
Yeah, that's a very cool movie. Yeah, it sucks when you're like, oh man, that's a remake. Oh man, like you're like, oh, I thought it was a pretty cool movie, but oh, I'm sure the original's way better. Like, like when I saw, it's fun. Speaking, this has nothing to do with twist endings, but I saw Just Visiting with Jean Reno, where he plays a knight that gets sucked in time. Well, when I saw the previews, I'm like, I've seen that movie. It's a French film. And I rewatched the French one. The French one's so funny because it's like slapstick and it's so much funnier. And it also stars Jean Reno. So the original one is in French and is really funny. So I like when you're like, oh, when you find that it's a remake and you go see the original, you're like, oh wow, 10 times better.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So good pick. And Jenny, what is your number four?
All right. So my number four is from 1997 and it's The Game.
Damn it, that's my number two.
Damn it.
Oh, really?
That's my number one.
Yeah, I forgot that this was a Fincher until I just reread it. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. Well, all right, it's my number one, so we're going to get to talk about it, The Game.
Yeah, I love it.
Did you just recently see it, or you saw it a while ago?
No, I saw it in college a lot because I had an ex that was obsessed with this movie, so we watched it all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm kind of obsessed with this movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Get obsessed with this movie.
Yeah. I will go ahead and say that. Man, I'm gonna go on and say that this is officially my favorite Fincher movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. More than Fight Club and more than like Seven. Spoiler alert. So I think I just love this movie. It's just so well made. All the cast is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So should we talk about the synopsis?
Yeah. So I'll just go over the one real quick and then we'll add some more stuff. But wealthy financier Nicholas Vought Orton gets a strange birthday present from wayward brother Conrad, a live action game that consumes his life. So it's Michael Douglas, who is this, you know, stuck up business guy that
rich guy
that doesn't have any friends, doesn't have a life, just does business all the time.
And he's kind of like, he's not an asshole per se, but he's kind of, he's like borderline. He could be an asshole.
I think he is. Yeah. I mean,
and he has like daddy issues. Like their dad committed suicide when they were both really young, and they're both kind of like privileged kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Conrad is like, from what you get, he used to be like a fuck up and like kind of just like,
and I mean until recently.
Yeah, until recently. Much, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Conrad comes back into his life and it's
Sean Penn.
It's Sean Penn. And Nicholas, who's Michael Douglas, it's his birthday. So for his birthday, Sean Penn gives him this gift that it's like a live game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that it's just such a cool how it's set up. You're like, oh, okay, so it's like it's kind of like scavenger hunt type mm-hmm. thing. And then it gets deeper. And then at one point you think like, oh, it's like a con. Wow, they took all his money. Like, oh, his brother's in on it. At one point you think his brother's in on it. But then then Sean Penn shows up and he's like scared. And he's like, oh, my game won't stop. He's like losing it. And like he's like. He blames Michael Douglas' character, like, no, you're in on it too. Like, I can't believe this. And
yeah.
They fight, and it's the twist ending at the end, which we should say, forward it now if you don't want to hear the twist ending, but you find out that all these horrible things start happening to Michael Douglas' character. He ends up, like, all his money's gone, his house is foreclosed on, like, he ends up in Mexico.
Yeah, he wakes up in Mexico in, like, a trunk.
Yeah, in, like, the trunk of a car. And he's to figure out how to get back, and, like, it's all, like, everything goes bad, and he finally, like, he finds the people that started the game, that kind of got, the people that run the game. And he goes and he holds somebody hostage, and he goes in, and then it turns out that he thinks it's, like, a con, and they end up in the roof. And that's my favorite scene, because you're, like, when he thinks he shot his brother at one point, you know? Ah, that's so, like... Because yeah. You feel for him, you're like, oh. Yeah.
Well, Sean Penn, like comes out, and he doesn't see who it is and, like, just shoots him. And then he realizes it was his brother that he shot. So it's not like he shot his brother on purpose. It was like,
yeah,
he shot him, and then he was like, oh, my God, I killed my brother.
And he feels so guilty about killing his brother. And everyone's like, oh, it was all game. It was all part of the game. And Michael Douglas goes and walks out to the end of the ledge, and he jumps. He's going to commit suicide. And he goes through a window, and he lands on, like, this air thing. What are they called? Those air, big pillow.
Yeah, big pillow. There you go.
Like a stunt, air pillows. And he lands on it safely. And Spike Jones
is the one that clears the glass away. Yeah.
Spike Jones is one of the paramedics. I didn't realize that. And it turns out that even that was part of the game. And everyone's there. He falls, where he falls, it's like a ballroom. And everyone's there for his birthday, and it's this big old surprise birthday thing. And yeah,
his brother's alive,
and yeah, so it's such a cool thing. And he learns a lesson about himself, and kind of gets over his, like, dad issues. I feel like he kind of works through that.
Yeah, and I think it helps him bond with
his brother,
yeah. And it also ends up creating a relationship with Deborah Kerr Unger, which I really like.
Yeah,
I love
their
final scene.
Yeah,
where he goes out to the car and. They're just talking, and then they decide to have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. A lot of this movie, most of this movie was shot in San Francisco. And when I visited last year, my hotel was literally across the street from one of the key scenes in it. And I was like, oh man, I kept going out at night going like, oh man, hope Sean Penn shows up here. but yeah, really fun movie, really, like, dark, a very cool, like, noir, like neo noir type film. Really love it. One of my favorite Finchers. So.
Yeah,
very cool. So it's your number four, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
My number one.
My number two.
And your number two. Very cool. All right. So for my number four, I picked a movie from 2003, and it is called Old Boy. So has anybody...
Nice.
Have you seen this, Jenny?
No. Mm-mm.
Old Boy is... is it a Korean? Korean film.
Yeah, I think.
And I'm going to spoil it for you. There's no way to get it.
That's okay.
There's no way around this. Yeah.
I knew what I was getting into.
The end of this is...
yeah.
It's so crazy.
We have to talk about it, though.
You can just say it.
Okay. So this dude is... his name is Midu. He gets kidnapped and held captive for 15 years, right? And you don't know why he's being held captive. They grab him. He's being held captive for 15 years. And he gets out all of a sudden. He unexpectedly gets released 15 years after, and he meets, he's kind of like, he has this short amount of time to get revenge on, like, you know, on whoever, kidnapped him and held captive for 15 years.
Why does he only have a short amount of time?
I don't remember that part right now.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe that's, I'm reading into it from the trailer. I think the trailer said that, but... He's just on, like, this
thing. He just
thing.
Wants to do it
he
immediately.
He wants to do this immediately, yeah. And he meets his young girl and, what's her name? Odesu, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Odesu is this young girl, and he kind of, like, develops this relationship with her. And eventually, he sleeps with her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just flash forward. He eventually, like, finds these people. He's seeking revenge. The twist at the end... this girl is his daughter.
Oh God.
But it was all a plan by this horrible, awful person.
Yeah.
to do it. He wanted to kidnap him for 15 years, and he wanted him to meet her.
Yeah.
And he wanted him to have sex with her just so he could reveal it to him.
Yeah.
In the end.
And it's there's way more to it. It's really layered. I'm kind of just giving you the gist of it. But
she's only 15.
I think so. I know she. I think no, she's a little older.
She's older.
Yeah,
than
yeah. She thinks so she's like
they. He had her before. He
yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she was little.
Yeah, and oh, okay. He doesn't like. He doesn't know where she's at, and like mm-hmm. you know. But yeah. So at, it's really layered because the revenge. So the guy that gets revenge on Midu,
mm-hmm.
He has some sort of like ancestral thing going too, and that's why he sets on this revenge. On Midu, because of something he did to him in his childhood, this villain in the movie. And I know it's a really cool movie. It's really stylized, really well done. And I vaguely went, you know, with the story. I gave away the twist ending, but it's so layered that you can still watch it, and it's still fun to watch. And it's getting remade right now. I think it's the remake is done. It's getting released this year.
Yeah, Josh Brolin is playing the main part. And yeah. Spike Lee,
it's going to be a daughter and a dad.
Well, everybody involved. Everybody involved had said that they changed the ending.
Okay.
So, which I thought, like, whoa, how are they going to do this? Like, it's very, whoa. I don't know if you know America's ready for this.
I don't think they are at all.
And but as it stands, it's directed by Spike Lee.
Uh-huh.
It stars Josh Brolin as the lead. Kate Olsen, is it?
Yes, or Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen, yeah.
As the girl?
As a girl.
Okay.
And Charito Copley?
Charito Copley, yeah.
Yeah, the guy from District 9 as the villain.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really interested to see how they change the ending or how they make it a twist ending with the American version. So
yeah,
I'm just really interested to see Josh Brolin eat a live octopus like they do in the original.
Yeah, in the original, Midu eats a live octopus.
The tentacles are just whipping out of his mouth.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, and sticking to his face.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool things. There's a really extended fight scene that he has in this hallway that ends like he has to fight like all these villains like
with a
like,
hammer.
Yeah, like there's like 20, about 20, maybe more, maybe 20 to 25 bad guys, and he fights them all, and it's all one take, and it's in a hallway, and it's one of the coolest fight scenes because there's no cuts in it. It's literally like a really long fight scene where you could see the exhaustion of like all he has is a hammer, and at one point like he steals their weapons too. Like I think there's a 4x4 at one point. But I'm curious to see if they bring that over to the American version and stuff. But there's so many cool things about it. It's one in the beginning of the movie he's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They show him drunk and Midu, and it's one of my favorite. It's one of the most realistic drunk scenes I've seen. I'm like, I've seen a lot of like drunk scenes in movies, but they always seem fake. Like, oh, this, you know, like no one's ever like this. It's so over the top. But this one is really well done. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like I imagine him really being drunk in that scene. So Old Boy from 2003. Mm. Check it out. I think Kevin has it. He should let you borrow it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, like, we'll see. But yeah, you should check it out before you see the
It's also on remake. Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix.
All right, Kevin, what is your number three?
It was Primal Fear.
Oh, that's right. So it goes to Jenny.
Oh, okay. Oh, shoot.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right, so my number three is 2001's The Others.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
is also a remake, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a remake.
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the original, but I was surprised by this ending. Is it the same ending in the original, too?
I don't know. I haven't seen the original, but okay. I believe
probably the same.
I
wouldn't
be surprised.
So tell us the synopsis and the twist.
Okay, so Nicole Kidman and her two kids live in this house, and it's pretty much it's haunted, and they don't want to believe it, and she tries not to see it, but the kids see it, and then she finally notices, and you know all that scary stuff. And then at the end you pretty much find out that all the things that they've been seeing is actually real life people that actually live in the house, and they've been dead for years, and so they're actually the ghosts that are haunting this family this whole time. And it's really interesting. They bring out like a seance woman that because the people that live in the house now in real life or in real time, they can tell that there's something in the house that's haunting them. So they bring on this seance woman to bring the ghost out. But it's really interesting to find out this whole time, because it's the cool part is like all the stuff that led up to it. Like, she wasn't letting her kids to go outside and little things like that. It's kind of interesting to go back and rewatch it and see like how they made it obvious that they weren't really there.
Yeah.
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 It's kind of like the Sixth Sense, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a period piece.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's what makes it a little creepier, that the fact that like, it's a lot of it's like, well, I mean, it's simulated candle lit, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's lit by candle. And so there's a little bit extra creepiness to it. And kids are creepy. That's all I'm saying. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all you need to know. Kids are creepy. Very cool. Yeah. I remember, I think I've seen the original too. I think I've seen both of them. It might be the same director too. I'm not sure. But yeah. So check that out, or check out the others, right? So
just called. Yeah, what's the original called?
I don't know. Good question. But we shall find out.
Yeah, we'll look it up.
All right. So my number, where are we? 3?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
my number 3. Oh, Jenny's too energized. She's
sorry.
My number 3 is from 2004, and it is The Machinist.
Ah, honorable nice. Mention.
Yeah. Have you seen this, Jenny?
Yeah, I love this movie.
It's really cool, right?
It's really good.
This is one of the movies where
I don't love it. It's just really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't it's hard to watch, but it's good. Yeah.
That's I think that's for me that's a sign of a good movie sometimes, is like when you're like, I can't go through that again. You know, like
yeah.
I won't, like I feel like that about like Requiem for a Dream. Like it's really good, but I don't ever want to like emotionally go through that again. I did it once and I'm good. But The Machinist is like that. Christian Bale plays this machinist, this factory worker, named Trevor, and he suffers from like chronic insomnia, like really, really bad, where he's like not eating, and he's kind of like being like stalked by this guy named Ivan. And like, he sees him everywhere he goes, and well, he's not sleeping at all. And the way, Brad Anderson is the director of this.
Yep.
How the way he captures like the how tired he is, like the way he films it, and like the way Christian Bale looks, like he just lost so much weight, like you could tell, like he just looks like he wants to catch a little shut eye.
Yeah, you just look into his eyes and you're like, you aren't thinking right now. You're just, there's nothing there because you haven't slept at all, so your brain just isn't functioning.
Yeah, yeah. And so basically what the movie is it's like this thriller where he wants to find out who's this guy who's chasing him, who's like stalking him. And he's just not sleeping, and it gets worse and worse and worse every day, you know, and he hasn't been sleeping for like, I think it's a year that he hasn't slept for. And the twist at the end is that this guy that's chasing him, Ivan, is part of his subconscious. And what really happened is that Trevor was involved in a hit and run earlier in his life,
mm-hmm.
and he involved a little boy, and it was a hit and run, and I think the boy died.
Yeah,
and it's just like his guilt. Basically, it's his subconscious guilt that is keeping him awake. And yeah, this is a hard movie to watch. Like that date he goes on with that waitress. Is it Jennifer Jason Leigh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
She's really good in this too. And one of my favorite character actors is in this. And I love when he pops up in like good movies like this. Michael Ironside. There's a scene with an arm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so check out The Machinist. Brad Anderson, really good director. But then I just saw that he's directing the new movie with Halle Berry. The Call.
Ugh, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, I guess you gotta pay the rent, you know? So
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Trans-Siberian didn't do well enough. And
yeah.
So they're like, guess what? You wanna do some more movies, you gotta make a piece of crap.
Yeah, yeah. So that is my number 3 from 2004, The Machinist. So
okay, my number 2 was The Game.
Mm.
All right. So it goes to Jenny.
Wow, we're
again.
Already on number 2.
Yeah.
All right. So I picked another horror. My number two is 2003's High Tension.
Oh,
nice.
All right. Not the biggest fan of that movie, because I don't know what it is. Something about that movie doesn't like stand right for me, but tell us the synopsis of it.
Okay. Two college friends, Marie and Alexa, encounter loads of trouble and blood while on vacation at Alexa's parents' country home when a mysterious killer invades their quest to get away. So it's about two girlfriends that go to vacation, and then a killer is after them and after all of the girl's family, and then they're like running from him, and they decide to like fight back, and then by the end of it, you realize that the whole time it was one of the girls, the one that they went to the other girl's parents' home, so it wasn't her parents that she killed, it was the other girl's parents, and you find out she's the killer the entire time, and she's just in love with the girl so much, I guess it's her roommate or something, she's in love with her so much that she wants her all to herself, and she doesn't want anybody else to have her. And so it's like this killer was in her mind the whole time. And the whole time you're thinking that she's running from the killer. Like, she seems just as scared and, like, trying to help the family. And then I think they do go back at the end and, like, show you
some of the key scenes.
Yeah. With her killing everybody. And it's kind of really interesting. And I really liked it. I think with all horror movies, it really depends on who you watch it with. If you watch it with someone that's going to be like, this is retarded, da 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 da, then you're not going to like it very much, I'm sure. But I watched it with a pretty good group that everyone was like seriously scared. And I think that's the best that you can do with any horror movie.
Well, I like when you dissect a genre and you turn I just love the idea of turning the victim into the actual killer.
Yeah. Because you have one perspective on her.
Yeah.
And then it's completely changed by the end. So it's crazy.
But be wary, everybody. Most streaming websites do not have the French version. They have the dub version, which is god-awful.
Yeah. Oh, really? I don't think I saw the dub version. I think I saw the French.
You got to watch the subtitled version.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about this movie that I think, I don't know, it just didn't sit right with me. But I'm like, I don't believe this movie.
You just don't like lesbians.
No, I love lesbians.
I don't know why.
It's my favorite thing in the world. But no, I don't know what it is.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the best horror movie ever, but it's not like, I'm trying to think of something shitty horror movie now.
Is this Alexander Aja?
Aja, yeah.
Okay. Aja. Aja. There's something about this movie that I just didn't believe in. Like, they kind of like made him like an honorary member of like, I think this is what started like the like splat pack. I mean, like the torture porn, like trend. This and like Hostel.
I would say Saw and Hostel more.
Yeah, but I'm just not a big fan of that genre where it's just like
gore.
It's like torture porn.
But his films, Aja's aren't necessarily. I wouldn't group him in with the torture porn.
Yeah, no, you're right. But a little bit though.
He's gory. I mean, he definitely loves in most of his films. He loves the gore. But I wouldn't necessarily group him in with torture porn.
Did Aja also do Piranha 3D?
Yeah.
No, oh, cool.
Oh, he did P2? Ugh.
Yeah.
P2.
P2, and he did Mirrors.
I don't know what Mirrors is. Oh, the one with all the mirrors.
Yeah.
The one with all the mirrors?
Yeah. No. It was the one with all the doors.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, The Hills Have Eyes. He did that one, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The remake? Yeah.
That one's pretty good.
I enjoyed that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was your number?
So we're covering all the horror movies for Adam. Don't worry, Adam.
Yeah.
We got you covered.
Was that your number two?
Yes.
Okay. So for my number two, I picked a movie from 2007, another foreign film. I feel like we have a lot of foreign films in this movie. You know,
they're just better. Yeah. They're just better at movies.
They really are. Actually, right now it's only been French films.
We've been doing. We're quietly going to step into, the next country down, Spain.
Oh.
And I'm going with a movie from 2007, The Orphanage.
Nice. Oh, I need to see that one. Still really.
Well. For a second, I was like, "Are you going with what I think you're going?"
Oh, okay. No. The Orphanage. The Orphanage. I'm spoiler alert, Jenny.
It's okay.
All right.
La la la.
Earmuffs.
So a young this couple moves into this former orphanage. You know, they buy it and they move into it. I don't know why you would do that though. That's just creepy onto itself. Like, you don't move into an orphanage because kids are creepy. And their young child goes missing like soon after, and the mom is like kind of like haunted by this little boy with like this bag over his head. That's really creepy, really creepy. And really suspenseful movie. And anyway, long story short, you think the whole time like, oh, the house took him and this ghost is evil, you know, like all these ghosts, these kids' ghosts are evil. But you find out, you cover your ears. Why don't you cover your ears for this one?
Take
your headphones off. Yeah.
Aww.
Cover your ears. So you find out that the kid, he went to the basement and got stuck. And all the noises that the mom was hearing was her own boy's voices and like cries for him to get helped. And he basically kind of like, he hurt his leg. He got stuck down there. And he basically like starved to death, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just his cries that he was hearing. Go ahead, Jenny. You come back. You're done. We're done. Sorry. And yeah, so that's that big twist ending. And it's just really well done. I think the fact that it's also in Spanish maybe lends a little to the horror. I think it's one of the very few movies that Guillermo del Toro produced that I really love.
Yeah.
This is what would get me into the theaters again. And I would be like, oh, he fooled me. Because it was like, Don't be afraid of the dark.
Don't be afraid of the dark.
Was horrible.
Mama.
Ugh. So this is the one that has Guillermo del Toro's name on it, but this one was really good.
And I think it comes down to the writing and directing.
Yeah.
Because the director, he does an entire scene that's freaking terrifying all in one take, and it's just camera movements.
Yeah.
And the actors.
The game.
There's
this game that they used to play, and basically. What was the game? So one person goes to like a tree or some sort of like object and closes their eyes and puts their head on it and counts down.
Yeah.
And people have to move closer and closer, right?
And then the goal is to try to touch the person who's keeps counting.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. But she does this like in the dark, Jenny, and there's this little ghost boy. And it is freaky. And it's one take, but it's all camera movement, how they do
it. Well, and you know what's going to happen because she starts counting because it was a game that she played with these kids. And the camera just keeps flipping to her and then flips to where who's ever going to be coming after her is going to be. And then goes back to her. And at first, it's empty room that she's doing this to. And then as it flips back to her, all of a sudden, the kids just start, these ghost kids start appearing out of nowhere.
Yes.
And then it cuts back to her, and they just keep getting closer and closer to her. And like, just stop playing the fucking
game.
Yeah,
just stop counting.
Just stop.
Yeah. You got to see this with the lights off on you know, like around midnight.
Okay.
At around midnight, yes.
Yeah. But it's really well done. And I think she went to the orphanage, I think. She was from there, I think. That's why I think she bought it and stuff. So, yeah, this movie's really great. Check it out. I think it was streaming at one point. Might not be anymore.
Yeah.
But I know you have it, right, Kevin?
I do have it.
Oh, you bastard. We'll have to see that again. But yeah, that's my number two from 2007, The Orphanage. So check it out.
Okay. Okay, so I'll do my recap. My number five was April Fool's Day. Four was Diabolique. Three, Primal Fear. Two, The Game. And my number one is from 2000. It's a Chris Nolan film, and it's called Memento.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think we've all seen this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love this movie, and then all of a sudden he throws in the ending that just reveals like what his character has been doing this entire time since the movie is told backwards, and then I'm just like, holy crap, this is just genius, because it just adds a whole nother element to the character right at the end of the film, and you're like, wait, so he's tricking himself to just keep playing along with this thing where he keeps killing people, including Joey Pants, and really... We don't really know if he did ever get vengeance for the killers or if there were two killers. We just know this guy keeps going out and killing people because he doesn't have memory anymore and he can trick himself.
And it gives him, it's kind of like giving him purpose in life because Yeah.
That's really his only purpose in life.
Yeah, yeah. And the way, just, I mean, this is one of Christopher Nolan's, this is like his second feature, right? I think The Following was
his first. The Following was his first, yeah.
And so if you're a fan of like Batman and like The Prestige and all that, check this out. It's one of his early films. And just the way the story is told backwards.
Yeah. Like the way
it's hard to even explain because it's not really backwards. Because the scene backwards and
it gives you like a couple of seconds from the the previous scene that you just saw. But I love how you'll enter a scene and it'll just like you're surprised at first because of the way he like enters into the scene. Because it's not just telling a story linearly. You're not just going like, oh, he starts here and then he moves forward. It's like, no, we see kind of the end of the story and then we're moving back to the front.
Yeah, yeah. And excuse me. And this just makes me excited because I think that Jonathan Nolan is a better writer than Christopher Nolan. Jonathan Nolan is Christopher Nolan's brother. He thought up of the story to this movie. I think he had written a short story that this is based off of. And then Christopher Nolan turned it into a movie. And then Jonathan Nolan also wrote The Dark Knight. He wrote most of it. Mm-hmm. And which is my favorite of the Dark Knight movies, of the Batman movies. So I think he might have a little. I think he might be a little bit more talented when it comes to writing. Well, I think Christopher Nolan has a combination of both, that he understands writing and is a great director. But I don't know. From all the things I've seen, I really have enjoyed when he's the lead, like kind of like takes a lead in writing, as Jonathan does. So,
I mean, I think Christopher definitely. I think he helps a lot with the story and structure.
Yeah, yeah.
When he isn't necessarily credited as the writer.
Yeah.
I think as a director, he definitely knows his vision.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'm also a huge fan of Inception, and that was written just by Christopher.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, that's true. I'm a big fan of that movie, and I'm really interested in Interstellar, which is Christopher Nolan's next movie, because that was a Spielberg movie that Jonathan Nolan had written for Spielberg. And I think, I don't know what happened to Spielberg. I don't know if he like kind of fell out of love with it or it was too much money to make it. But he's now taking that over. So I'm curious to see what that is.
Yeah.
So I know it involves space and possibly time travel. So
that's awesome because I would love to see Christopher Nolan do those two things.
Four things I like. Yeah. Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan, time travel.
And space.
So yep. You're welcome, world. but yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Very cool. I like that. I like that pick. I think we're gonna spend more time on like honorable mentions than we are on our list.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So
that's okay.
Yeah. Jenny, give us your recap and then your number one.
All right, so my number five was Fight Club, 4 The Game, 3 The Others, 2 High Tension, and my number one is a 2000. Yay, I love when my iPad works. It's a movie recently, 2003 movie called Identity.
Cool. James Mangold.
Mm-hmm. I love this movie so much. It completely surprised me, the ending. The gist of it, there's a group of like 9 people all stranded at a hotel because it's raining and all the roads are shut down, and slowly someone and then there were none type thing where slowly one of the characters is killing off all these people and everyone's trying to figure out who it is because no one knows. And it's really good. There's a lot of really good names in it. And then at the end,
well, there's like parallel stories going on.
Yeah.
There's this guy that's going to is going to the electric chair or the gas chamber, right? One of the two.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a
murderer. He's getting killed. He's a murderer. He's convicted. He's sentenced to death.
Yeah.
That's one storyline. The B storyline. And the A storyline is that all these people get stuck at this hotel and they're getting killed off one by one. And they keep flashing back and forth a little bit to each to the guy getting sentenced until it's the end.
So you find out that all these characters are all these people are characters in the guy's mind, and
the killer's
mind, and he's been killing them off in his head, and
because they're all versions of his personality.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's got multiple personality disorder.
So one of the personalities is killing off all the other personalities in his head, and then you find out even after that, which is that right there is suspense, a crazy twist ending. Then after that, you find out that the one that is does end up being the one that's killing them all off, because there's two people left over at the end of the movie. And two different personalities.
And you think they kill the killer. The killer in his, you know.
Yeah, and so everyone's like, yay, happy, well, let's go plant some carrots. And isn't that what they're planting, carrots?
She's planting carrots, yeah. I think.
And then you find out that it's a fucking little boy.
Yeah.
And he kills her. It's the kid. So the kid's the killer. And so he's the only one left. And so in his mind, the main guy, the real killer's mind, they think he's better. And so they're like, okay, well, not better, but they're like, okay, well, we know what's going on, so we're going to actually just take you to the psycho place.
Yeah, the psych ward. Like, instead of killing you,
we're going to, you're, obviously, you need help.
Yeah,
kind of thing. You're mental.
Yeah, and they think they've helped mental him. Help. They've helped him by kind of
doing this thing where he's talking about it, and they're recording it and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so in his mind, this is happening where the little boy finally kills off the girl that's left, and he's in the back of a car, and in a cop van or something, and then he ends up, the little boy in his mind, the killer, ends up taking over,
yep.
And he becomes a killer and kills everyone, all the police guys and everyone, and goes off, and
escapes, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's happened. So there's so many twist endings to this movie, the whole, finding out all the people, then finding out that it's a little boy, and then him actually going crazy again. And
because it's funny, because in the beginning of the movie, they can't get out of this town. It's like raining and you don't know, like, why the hell can't they get out of this town?
Yeah, like all the streets are blocked from like a tree or like waters. They can't.
Well, because it's the desert, so it's raining a lot and it floods the streets, so they can't get through.
Yeah, and they don't want to walk. Duh. Yeah.
But this is a really cool movie. It's directed by James Mangold, who did Walk the Line. Girl Interrupted.
It's got a great cast. Yeah. It's a fantastic cast.
Yeah. I love Prue Taylor Vince in this, with his crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Who again?
The killer. The main. The one that's.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yeah.
Prue Taylor Vince.
Yeah. And it. Who's in this? Jake Busey's in this.
Jake Busey.
Amanda Peet.
Amanda Peet. Doctor.
Doctor. Oh, the John C. McGinley?
John C. McGinley.
Yeah.
Him. Clea DuVall,
yeah.
Alfred Molina, John Hawkes, Amanda Peet, Ray Liotta, John Cusack.
Yeah.
It's a great cast.
Really, really huge cast.
It's a really fantastic movie, and I really apologize if I just ruined this movie for you, but you have to go see it.
They forwarded their button.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ow.
That's a very cool movie. Check it out. Identity, directed by James Mangold, who's directing The Wolverine this year.
Mm.
I'll do my recap. My number one, my number five was Primal Fear, 4 Old Boy, 3 The Machinist, 2 The Orphanage, 1 The Game, which we already talked about.
Sorry.
So no, it's right. I mean, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. All right, let's do some honorable mentions, cause there's a ton of them. Let's just start off with some of them. I'm going to name some of them that I've already mentioned in previous episodes for other lists, that I didn't put in this. So starting from now, we're just going to rattle off movies and twist endings. So,
yeah. So stop listening.
Tread lightly. Yes. At Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Coolest. Have you seen this? The original, Jenny?
It's been a while,
but you know, the twist ending, right? Yeah. So, these astronauts, this is one of my favorite movies of sci-fi movies of all time. These astronauts crash land after they've been traveling light speed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they crash land, and the planet they crash land into is inhabited by apes who talk and act like humans, and they talk, and all the crew members die except Charlton Heston. And Charlton Heston kind of escapes, blah, blah, all these things happen. At the end of the movie, you find out that they're not in a other world, but in fact, they've time traveled into the future and they are in Earth. He finds the Statue of Liberty's, you know, hand popping out of the sand on the beach, and he yells the line, that famous line. It's an awesome movie. I love this movie. So, you guys rattle off some of them. Some other
that we've talked about before, or just honorable mentions.
Anything.
I want to throw out Jacob's Ladder.
Yes. tell us what that's about.
Well, first of all, this movie is fucking creepy.
Yes.
And it's pretty much...
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins is a Vietnam vet who is kind of dealing with life back in reality, but he's like just losing his mind. He's seeing stuff,
yeah,
and he's just going crazier and crazier and crazier. And then you find out that this is actually all in his head as he's dying in Vietnam.
Yep. Yep. It's interesting, like the way it's filmed, and like it's creepy.
Some of the scenes in this are just so creepy.
It's hard to watch.
It's a psychological film, because some of the like images and scenes that the Adrian Lin comes up with are just very, very creepy.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if this. I think I read a story about this. I think this might be the same guy that wrote Ghost. No, maybe not.
That I don't know.
But another Tim Robbins movie with a twist ending, Arlington Road.
Yep.
Really cool movie. Have you seen that, Jenna? This is a good movie, but I don't care if I spoil it for you. basically, Jeff Bridges, he's like this university kind of like professor, like lecturer. He suspects his neighbor, Tim Robbins, is a terrorist. And he kind of like is trying to like warn people, but he can't kind of seem to get it right. And the big twist ending is at the end that Tim Robbins is a terrorist. And the whole time he's been planning, so Jeff Bridges gets blamed for the terrorist act, and they go off scot-free and move on to cause more mayhem somewhere else. Tim Robbins is amazingly creepy in this. Jeff Bridges
is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just rattle off some of them too. The Descent.
Yep.
Really cool twist ending. Jenny? What are some of your honorable mentions?
Like the usual ones, like Empire Strikes Back. That's twist ending.
Yeah.
With him becoming his dad. Sixth Sense. Did he concede?
You know, be creepy if Empire Strikes Back was, by a Korean director, he would have slept with.
He would have slept with Luke.
Darth Vader. Yeah.
He would have woken up next to Darth. Yeah. And like, Luke.
I'm your father.
I'm your father.
And you're like, what?
What?
God damn it!
Damn it!
You had unprotected sex with me last night.
And the whole time it was Lando Calrissian who set it up. He's like, I told you, get revenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else do you have?
Like The Sixth Sense, he can see dead people the whole time. And Bruce Willis is dead. Oh my God. And
I thought the twist was that at the end we realized that the guy is Bruce Willis.
The guy is Bruce Willis.
That's what Charlie thinks, and it's always Sunny in Philadelphia. He thinks
the guy
it's a twist.
Is Bruce Willis.
Is that we find out at the end that it's Bruce Willis. The whole time it's been Bruce Willis. And everybody's like, we already knew it was Bruce Willis.
What else do you have?
Seven.
Yes.
His whole plan was for him and Brad Pitt to be the last of the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
you know what? Okay. I'm going to talk about a movie that I talked about. So spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about Old Boy again. Because America is ready for an incest movie. You know why?
Why?
Chinatown.
Yeah, but that was so long ago.
Yeah, I guess so, but still, I'm just saying.
When Chinatown came out, we were a different group of people.
We accepted incest.
we were fine with incest.
All right. What else do you have, Jenny? Butterfly Effect.
Yeah, Butterfly Effect. I think that I kind of feel like that's a twist ending, just because he has to decide which ending he's going to go with, and he ends up surprise, because the whole movie he's trying to get Amy Smart to be his, you know, girlfriend, and he loves her and he wants to be with her, and then in the end you find out that he decides he's just going to not ever be friends with her at all, because that'll help her future. And so it's like a whole, he's giving up his happiness for her, but it's kind of a surprise ending because you weren't expecting him to not be with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. Like that was the whole point of the movie.
Yeah. That he kept trying to be with her.
Yeah.
I have Psycho.
Yep.
Seven, which you mentioned, Sixth Sense. The Usual Suspects, which...
Yeah.
I just left it off my list because it's like goes without saying it's number one, you know. If you haven't seen Usual Suspects, first of all, hit yourself over the head for not doing so, and second of all, we're gonna spoil it. The ending, how when he finds out like all the things that that are all on the board, the cup, everything. It's amazing. It's really well done. One of, I think it's Bryan Singer's second movie, second feature.
Yeah.
I think the first one was Public Access.
Public Access, yeah.
And it's Christopher McQuarrie's first, like, I think second produced script, because he also wrote Public Access. And he won the Oscar for this. And it's just such a well-written, like, movie and well-directed. Kevin Spacey's amazing in it. Yeah. There's... Everybody's amazing in this. Everybody. Pete Postlewaite is awesome.
Pete Postlewaite is so good.
Chaz Palminteri. Yes. I think I mentioned Psycho, right? Psycho?
Psycho, yeah.
Yeah. The remake or the original. You take your pick.
Yep. You decide.
What else do you have, Kev?
Unbreakable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, every...
Any M. Night Shyamalan, I should say that. Yeah.
I mean, or, except for...
Last Airbender.
Except for Last Airbender.
I refuse to see that.
Black Swan.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And the film that I thought for a second you might be talking about, Open Your Eyes.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it in, I think, a couple episodes ago. We talked about Vanilla Sky, I think.
Okay.
What were we talking about? What topic was that?
Vanilla Sky.
What topic was it? Not remakes.
Oh, movies that happen in the future.
Oh yeah. Right? Spoiler alert. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, technically it does. Yeah, so it's a good movie. And Abre los Ojos, which is the original movie it's based off of. But yeah, very cool. What else do you have?
That's it.
That's it.
Friday the 13th, you find out it's his mom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scream. All the screams, really, because you never know who the killer is.
Yeah. Hot and Weary?
Yeah.
I just like saying that.
Twist ending. Oh my God, it's this guy that we thought was on our side the whole time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Scream 1 is such a fun film. Like, I keep forgetting.
I like all the screams.
That's what's wrong with America.
I like every one of them.
Recently, I just sat down and watched like Scream 3 like twice.
So. I love Scream 3.
I don't remember.
It's so funny.
It really
is. It's just funny.
I don't remember 3 or 2, to be honest.
It's Amanda Peet.
Yep.
She's so great.
Yeah.
No, not Amanda Peet. Parker Posey.
Parker Posey, yes.
Those two mixed up sometimes.
She's a killer?
But Park, no.
Yeah, she's the killer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who the killer is in 2 or 3. I just know Cotton Weary.
Should we say it? 3, it's her brother.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we didn't know.
You don't know it's her brother until.
She even has a brother.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And then 1, it's her boyfriend. And 2, it's her boyfriend. And her boy and someone's mom.
And what's his name? Billy's mom.
Billy's mom, yeah.
Wow. I gotta rewatch so part good. 2 and 3.
And yeah. 4. No, I'm not gonna ruin that.
I can't remember who the killer is in 4.
It's her cousin.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
It's Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should see 4 again. No, I don't.
No, you shouldn't. You should never see 4 again.
But 1, 2, and 3 are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can't watch Scream without thinking of like Scary Movie with Carmen Electra. So, that's just. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing, I guess.
No, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. All right. So that concludes the episode of Twist Endings, films with a twist ending. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You know the drill. Come on, guys. Follow us. Like us. Accept us. What else? If you're going to buy something off Amazon, go through our website. Click on our link and go about your shopping. Follow a couple of our friends. We got Shooting the Script, which is Adam Scott's website. We have RupertPupkinSpeaks.blogspot.com. And then we have, I know our friend Sean Wicks has a blog. I'm going to get that.
Wix Flicks. Man.
We got to hit him up again. I know last time it was wrong and I deleted it off the episode because I was wrong. But yes.
Maybe I can look it up while you're talking.
Yes. And then follow the Inside Outcast, who they talk about music, films, all that stuff, all that good jazz. And follow the podcast on Twitter at The Film Podcast. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jeneigh, JEHNEIGH.
And I'm at KZuberbeer, that's ZUBERBIR.
It's Wix Flicks.
WixFlicks.
Yes.
.com. So check that out. Our friend
Sean. All with CKS, CK, not an EX.
Yeah. Well, who spells it that way? You youngsters.
WixFlicks. What was the other word? Wix? Pix? Because maybe Pix is spelled with...
No, Pix is still spelled with P-I-C-K. Know.
Maybe they just do it K-S.
I think you're spelling things wrong and just thinking everybody does.
I mean,
CS.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So that concludes the episode. Oh, stay tuned. Coming up, lately, you know, in a couple episodes, I feel like we're going to start doing more interviews with actors, directors. We're going to get into that business, guys. So expect that coming soon from us. And yeah, suggest any topics you'd like us to talk about. So this was one of the this topic we talked about today was actually one of the listener suggestions. So thank you for suggesting that. And yeah, we always welcome suggestions. So all right, until next time, have a good week.